to hustle, America. Roll up our sleeves and make dreams happen. Midwest Momentum brings you stories of CEOs, startups, product development, and founders doing whatever it takes to make their big idea happen. Midwest Momentum is supported by Big Kitty Labs and produced by G&R Media. Here's Midwest Momentum hosts, Dan Rockwell and Michelle Gatchell.
Welcome to Midwest Momentum. We are here with Bill Nemeth from Carmen Ventures, and we're going to talk to him all about what Carmen Ventures is and find out his origin story.
Oh, you're done. what rock did I crawl out from under?
So you started out in Cleveland or Akron?
I started out in Cleveland.
Okay.
Born and raised in Northeast Ohio. Ohio State Buckeye, though. I went to college here. Made it through. Have a degree.
Woohoo! What was your degree in?
Information systems and marketing, double major.
Oh, nice.
Started as a computer engineer. Spent 2.5 years there, and I was the only person that smelled of beer. Wasn't focused on math 24/7. I decided I didn't want to write a compiler or design my own integrated circuit. So I went to the business college.
There you go.
After taking all the physics and everything else, so I'm not that bright.
Yeah, but you use that for evaluation later on, probably.
You want your volunteer or your elective classes to be engineering physics, engineering math, engineering stats, engineering graphics. That was really bright.
Yeah, wow.
Great.
So, and you had a social life with all that?
Yeah, that's why I had to get out of the College of Engineering. Because I had to get thrown out of the College of Engineering.
Were you in a fraternity too, I'm just saying?
No, I wouldn't have survived.
Wow.
So you went into the business side of things.
Yeah.
You doing entrepreneurship in college, or was that a thing you did?
That was not a thing.
That was not a thing.
That meant you couldn't find a job.
Right.
No, I'm not being shitty. I'm being actual. Yeah. But my grandfather had been an entrepreneur. Yeah. But that's the type of thing. You own a chicken processing business.
Right.
And that grows, and you buy a little farm and that, and he'd been in the Navy and then went on to another career of 20-some years he retired to. Mm-hmm. But there was entrepreneurial blood going back generations.
That's cool.
I did a semi-normal thing. I got an internship at the Ohio Department of Transportation. Cool. Was on a degree track as a double major and programmed some systems for ODOT. Started interviewing with many of the large companies here in Ohio and called my dad and said, look, I can't spend the rest of my life in a cube. This is not, I can't. And you know, you get to be a junior assistant programmer, and then you get to be an assistant programmer, and if the person ahead of you dies, then you get their cube, and you get to move on.
You get their cube.
Do I have to wear short-sleeved shirts and polyester ties? I mean, I started looking at sales jobs. CompuServe was around then. IBM went into a hiring freeze, but I interviewed with 6 different IBM offices. They kept sending me around, trying to find an open headcount so they could take me. But I ended up working for a small software firm in Cleveland. And enjoyed sales, but my ADD and my being a shitty employee got to me. So I started moving to different sales jobs and then architecture and then project management and program management and started practices, and I was still a shitty employee. And I kept spouting off on, we could do this better and we should do this and they could outsource this, and managed services wasn't a thing, but I said we could outsource different pieces of the back office. So started my own company, and that's where I went from there.
Awesome. Because, you know, I met you at Ohio State. I was there serving time. Okay, I was there at Ohio State, the commercialization side of things. And, you know, I knew Michael Camp. This was around 2010. And, you know, Camp was sort of the star at the time for sort of the attraction point of business stuff, and remember participating in an I-Corps. Can you tell me about I-Corps? What is I-Corps?
I-Corps was started by the National Science Foundation about about 14 years ago, maybe, or 15, when you met me, so, yeah, probably 15 years ago.
Yeah.
National Science Foundation pours billions of dollars into pure research every year, right. And they started saying, do we get anything back? It takes the government a while to catch on sometimes, but they kind of said, you know, is anything coming back out of the university?
Yeah.
And they went to Steve Blank and said, look, can you put a curriculum together that we could use? Because they had read The Five Steps to the Epiphany.
Right.
I don't know if the Startup Owner's Manual was out yet.
Yeah.
And Blank kind of took his curriculum and said, all right, we're going to teach principal investigators, postdocs, doc students from their lab, and we'll pair them with an industry mentor, and we're going to torture them for 12 weeks. And teach them the lean launchpad that we've come to know and love. Go do customer interviews, do customer discovery.
Yeah.
No talk about your technology.
Yeah.
And these are people that don't leave labs.
Right.
They don't talk to other humans.
Right.
English as a second language doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Speech impediments don't matter.
Yeah.
Get on the phone and call people.
Yeah.
I need 100 interviews, 15 a week, face-to-face, customer discovery, needs, pains, gains, jobs. Teach them the business model canvas. And as I said at the end of most of his sessions at the graduation, I two things that I always imparted on them was, number one, you've not learned this much since you were a kindergartner in as short a period of time.
12 weeks.
And they're PhDs. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
They were frightened out of their minds. Mm. I mean, 20 patents, and what do you mean revenue? What profit different from revenue? What do you mean I got to talk to people? I just, out of their minds.
Yeah.
Second piece was I got retribution for what they did to me in undergrad. I was the instructor. No, but that program, born out of the NSF, was taken to different colleges or universities, research institutions around the country. People applied, got grants from the government, and then went through this program. And a lot of companies have come out of it, a lot of follow-on federal funding.
Yeah.
The SBIR success rate, if you've gone through an I-Corps program, is 65%.
That's huge.
It's 14 if you have
it. Yeah.
They have a commercialization plan. But they also, it was really rewarding to see light bulbs go off, have PhDs in mechanical engineering using graduate finance terms, but not using the terms.
Yeah.
They're talking about, like, how much would it cost to build and how would you finance? And they're talking about cost of capital and they have no idea.
Wow.
So it's been a great program around the country. It's been instrumental here. The difference with what you went through in the Canonical program is we focused on commercialization. We were more consulting than the typical instructors allowed to be. But that also let us be a little bit more pointed sometimes.
Yeah.
But not as cruel.
Yeah. Well, I think the interview part alone was massive. I mean, the average startup doesn't even go out and interview more than 10 people when they start. You know, and you guys are like, go find 100 people, you know. So that was pretty awesome.
It's fun.
Well, I find it fascinating that, you know, we talk about people, you know, especially in the tech industry, there's a lot of people who English is not their first language. And how do they jump into America, come into our universities and make things happen for themselves?
I've got three different, and if we could bottle this, we could probably make money. Three different occasions when major speech impediments, and one case of, I mean, beyond stage fright. I mean, like agoraphobic lockup panic attack level were pure.
Wow.
And the first two, one was from Pakistan, one was from Malaysia. One used to grip the podium, and the stuttering was so bad, he could barely get one answer out for a question over the course of minutes. And we'd sit there. The other person that was from University of Akron sent him out. He had only been in the country 2 years, and he was a lockup stutterer. So he would just get stuck and stuck and stuck.
Wow.
And by the time he gave his final presentation, neither of those two people stuttered.
Wow.
Not once.
Amazing.
And I talked to him afterwards. I said, and all I said was, I said, what happened to your stutter?
Yeah.
And he laughed. He said, after you've been hung up on, people cut you off,
yeah.
people being rude, he said, you can stand up to anything. And he said, I have no fear anymore at all.
Yeah.
I said, how long have you stuttered? He said, my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
As a kid, I mean, yeah. made fun of the whole bit. There's no clinical evidence, but it's happened three different times where people were just wiped out major. It actually kind of folds right into the entrepreneurship piece. Somebody actually said, I was coaching, and she said, you're so self-confident. I said, no. This has nothing to do with self-confidence. I am not self-confident. I go, I've got more anxiety and more self-doubt and imposter syndrome than you can imagine. She goes, but you come across, so I said, I have a giant truckload of I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I will go down in flames. I will drop trout in the parking lot. I will look like a fool on stage. Yeah. He said, because I don't care. In the best possible manner, you've got to be willing to fall on your face.
Yeah.
Does it mean it doesn't hurt? No, I just don't care that it hurts.
Yeah. He
said, but self-confidence, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why we second-guess ourselves. That's why you play your own devil's advocate. That's why... mental health issues and entrepreneurism are so rampant.
Yeah.
You know, I pulled stats, and I'm meandering here, but I pulled stats from Harvard and others that did studies on entrepreneurs. The incidence of schizophrenia and major mental issues is more than four times the typical population. Suicide, astronomical. Depression, quadruple. All these different things that entrepreneurs, because it's not okay to say, I'm not okay as an entrepreneur.
Do you think that's getting better?
Yes and no. It's okay for me to say something to Dan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay for me to say something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, is that internal reluctance to show it. And then if you do take funding from somebody, who do I tell? My co-founders? I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm screwed up. I don't. The people that work for you? No. The people that funded you? No. Your board? No. I mean, who can you tell? Your spouse, significant other? You can't burden them constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You have this horrible fear going on, and you don't want to dump on them. Everybody's got their own problems. You won't go and tell your parents. And if Dan's starting a company too, and I am, we could go crying our beer together, but we're both running through that same minefield.
Yeah.
So you end up feeling bad that you're going to tell anybody anything.
Yeah.
But yes, you can, and people are way more understanding now, especially if they've been there.
Yeah.
So. It always seems like a decent founder for founder kind of network. I always feel like that's open, but sometimes for folks that haven't necessarily, I feel like, as a school of fish, we sort of let the fish go in further into the club based on the amount of scars they have. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you started a company, yeah, you can come and just like, hey, this section is for angel investors. Have you done angel? Okay, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
This room is for VC.
Yeah. Did you fail? Did you? I mean, give me your whole laundry list of check marks that you got on your thing. But I ran a mentoring program. And amongst other entrepreneurs, I mean, they finally get to a level, because we'd all been there, where they would cry. They would say, I don't know. They would, you know, they could actually drop their guard enough to say something and at least get that level of help.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to see anybody else go down in flames.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's almost a rite of passage to get through each different doorway.
It is. And we still sort of celebrate the raise, even though we kind of don't celebrate, you know, people who, like, shipped. You know, like, we don't have, like, ship day. We just have the, dude, you know, you raised a bunch of money, and, you know, are you still in control? Like, that's the thing. People don't know what it's like to raise money, and anyone who has can't talk about it. So how do we talk about the thing?
Well, let's start with the core concept of what you just said is celebrating something.
Yeah.
In the Midwest,
yeah.
we're raised to keep your mouth shut and pretend like you've been there before.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
Joe Paterno, act like you've been in the end zone before.
Yeah.
We're not demonstrative. Right. It's about hard work. It's the work ethic. It's expected of you, blah, blah, blah. So people don't celebrate. And when I'm coaching somebody and when I've had teams, I might not celebrate. And eventually I got to a point where I would go celebrate with them, even though I wasn't feeling like I should.
Yeah.
It was important for the team. But the littlest things,
yeah,
like cracking a piece of code that you just couldn't get right.
Right.
You know, getting something installed that was a bear. You know, landing your first account, getting your first check-in. So, you know, celebrate the little things, but the entrepreneur, they're the ones I really get on about, look, you've earned a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean go get drunk, but go get a beer and celebrate.
Yeah.
Go sit out in the sun with a beer.
Yeah.
Something simple. So you recognize yourself, because back to being a founder, nobody's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
It is a lonely thing.
It's brutal.
And if you run yourself down or let yourself go down that, you think?
Well, there's a whole mental path to get down. And I talk to people about that are struggling. And I go, have you started avoiding phone calls? What do you mean? I go, do you let things go to voicemail on purpose? Do you, if you see a certain customer's name come up, do you let it go? Because, oh God, I go, how about emails? Well, if you're at text level, you need help. It's a progressive avoidance thing, and the pile never gets smaller.
And it's out of control.
Yeah, and you're sitting there alone, but depressed, anxiety-ridden, and for you, you don't see any way out. Because, of course, God forbid, you're Superwoman, you shouldn't ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a team. Well, you do, but you don't use them.
Right, right.
Yeah, and if you can't vest in them responsibility, you got the wrong team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge.
We really try to champion the clarity aspect in Ketchup and other places, just because it's kind of like back to requirements on everything. Like, do we both agree on gravity? Like, yes. Okay. Here's a foundation. Yes. You know, like, all right, let's talk about this, you know, so. But I a lot of what you said really hits home, because, you know, going through those two pieces, and also going through it and being there. So, like, a lot of times, starting up, I didn't know what my friends were really going through, because I wasn't. But instead, I was just a listener. I'm going to come and hang out with you. I'm going to show you share. And then at the time, I needed the same thing. But I will say it's hard if you're not a normal, like, I'm pretty good at putting everything on my transparency side. But for founders that aren't, you're never going to know until they explode.
Well, and a lot of them are engineers.
Yeah.
And engineers have a pathological problem.
Yeah.
I can fix it.
Yeah.
They can fix anything.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And B, should it be fixed? And they'll work a problem to death.
Yeah.
And they're not wired necessarily to throw it all on the table.
Yeah.
And then you get into a race situation, like you brought up, and just the sheer numbers of phone calls and efforts and not no's, but no responses or maybes, come back and talk to me.
The hoop is pushed further back.
And people don't know what's on the other side.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's some of the things I try to do to people, do two people.
Yeah.
Do four people is say, this is the why.
Yeah.
And here are the holes, or why it's not you. It really is us. And this is the why it's us. Yeah. Like, I've told multiple founders just some simple questions like, how many more first-time investments do you have in this fund?
Well,
none. It's all follow-on now.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to push you away. You know, things like, you know, how far into the fund are you? How much time are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many other companies in our lane do you have already? Because they're managing a portfolio.
Right. And they're controlling a whole cohort of companies.
Right. And you know, they need some level of diversity in the portfolio. So the people raising, the entrepreneurs, aren't comfortable asking or looking at it as a two-way transaction.
That's a big paradigm change.
Oh my God. People, I go, it's fair. I mean,
You're trying to make them money.
Yeah.
This isn't a gift. You're not asking for a grant.
Yeah.
And I said, and it's their job to allocate capital where they see fit.
Yeah.
They do diligence on you. They could just as easily keep it under their mattress.
Yeah.
If they decide to invest in you, that's on them.
Yeah.
If they lose it, I know it's not going to feel like it's on them. That's on them.
Yeah.
This is a two-way street.
Yeah. Yeah.
And getting over, especially if it's a founder, you know, a researcher, you're going to ask people for money, and you know the odds are you're going to lose it all. Whoa! And it flips them out. What do you mean I'm going to go? And you're not going to ask for $250,000. This is not a grant.
Yeah.
You need $2.5 million. Yeah. I can't. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
We're going to walk through. And it's a whole paradigm shift for
you. Yeah. And so how do you? I mean, I think just knowing me, I think you don't think like that until someone is there to mentor you or coach you.
Right.
You don't get to that next step because you don't know it exists.
Right.
And it is out of the scope of the circle that you think you live in.
Right. Well, and some of the questions that I mean, entrepreneurs, and I've had some pitched to me here locally, very accomplished, have raised some money already, bunch of non-dilutive capital from grants, and like I had to catch a flight for one. So I had very limited time. And I finally went, look, I've got like 2-3 questions. And I asked them, and I got flat lines on all 3 questions because they had never heard those questions before. But if you're a VC, you're going to ask them. But if you were a founder, you damn well better know the answer to these, even if you don't have an answer. Because they were all existential questions.
Yeah.
Wait, what are the 3 questions for people listening?
So
let's do it.
One was just flat out, what's the biggest risk for this not happening? What's the thing that could cause this not to happen? What's your plan to address it if that passes? So I got blank and blank. And then the last one was on the market. Many entrepreneurs go after, and I mean fruit stand owners too. I don't just mean, I mean universally, entrepreneurs will go after the biggest market. Okay. You could, and I always say, you could sell Ferraris or you could sell Chevy Malibu. One, you're going to sell $4,000 for a year or $4,000 a year. The other one, you're going to sell $40,000. You know who's going to make more money? The one that sold the 4,000. The Ferraris. They chose that market. It is not the biggest market. It's the one with the most disposable income, where the image matters, all the rest of the stuff. I said, if you have a time clock on you, capital, not enough capital, whatever it is, burn rate, bootstrapping it, you got a time clock if you're an entrepreneur. What is the most important thing? Well, the people that will pay you the fastest. Where can you make money the quickest? Who has the most desperate need, the most likelihood of pulling the trigger the quickest, the most easy to convert because they have a screaming problem? You know, this glass of water right here is worth nothing. That glass of water in the middle of the desert, if you're stranded, is worth everything you've got.
Right.
Yeah.
So I said, shortest path to market, path of least resistance. So you got to look at where can you make money the fastest. So I asked him flat out, I said, where are people spending money now? Well, here, how long have they been doing that? Oh, that's been in the market for 5 years. You can improve that? Yeah. So why aren't you going after that market? So, well, this one's huge. So what's the penetration in that market? 2%. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting on what? Well, for the market to catch up and for this to happen and for that to happen. I go, why are they buying over here? Because this solves all these problems. And they want, I said, why aren't you going after where people are spending money right now? Because that's the cheapest capital you'll get.
Yeah.
And they went, yeah, but this is the biggest market. I went, I got to catch my plane. I understand, but you got to make money while you're waiting because back to the, what happens if that doesn't come through?
Right.
What happens if it doesn't take 18 months and it takes 4 years? Well, we're going to have to raise more money. You're asking me for money.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to come back again and say, well, we're still waiting. Yeah. You think I'm going to do that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. They sort of want to get paid for their assumption.
Yeah.
And then once the proof comes in, we get a re-raise another round.
Yeah. You're not going to survive that long.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's brutal.
Yeah,
you won't. Especially on how you spend it.
Yeah. So in the fundraising seed world,
mm-hmm.
what does that look like?
A bloodbath. what's fun? It's not funny, but for everyone here in the Midwest, the coasts have moved to where the Midwest was. Meaning, uh-huh. I need some proof. I need some traction. I'd like to see some revenue. I need to see product market fit, path to profitability, etc. They're asking things where before it was, we're going to give you enough money until you figure it out.
Right.
That doesn't fly anymore given right. the funding environment.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The seed environment here, if you have something that fills those blanks, that has a path for all those, you can get money. You really can.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that we talked about at Carmen that we're doing differently is I hate starving people for capital. You come to me, Dan comes and says, I need $2 million. Here's $250,000.
Yeah.
I'll see you in 2 months. Yeah. And then I'll see you 2 months after that. So I've now taken Dan's job from being an entrepreneur and a builder and a shipper mm-hmm. and turned you into a fundraiser.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Which also retards the growth of your company.
Sure.
Your time to market gets extended. Yeah. And the competition elsewhere that got the $2 million blows your door.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So what are you going to be doing?
Bigger checks.
Like that. Always like a bigger check.
Bigger checks, bigger syndicate, and also more help from expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So I use a pejorative term of adult supervision.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much what it is.
Well, yeah. No, but I need adult supervision. So a great example is if we're looking at a life sciences company, I'm not qualified. Just flat out, I'm not. At a high level, yeah, I get it. I can do the financial due diligence, all the rest of this stuff, look at the markets. I'm not qualified to know the state of the art, the state of the competitive technologies, the state of the IP, everything else that's germane to making a decision on investing on, you know, in life sciences. But I got team members that do it. We've got a network that does.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I engage them to do a really thorough job?
Yeah.
And not from a, you know, a offensive manner, but mm-hmm. people look at the diligence we do and go, oh my God, that's onerous. Well, it's also a diagnostic.
Mm-hmm.
I know where the holes are. So now back to the adult supervision.
Mm-hmm.
I have these people that have been there, done that, have the scars, have the mm-hmm. connections that can help you leapfrog and not, I don't have to pay your tuition. I don't have to let you get shot at.
Right.
Wouldn't
right.
you rather me right. take care of all that for you and yeah. let you
yeah.
do what you excel at? So that's the adult supervision yeah. part. Yeah. We're trying to put people in place to help people move it faster,
yeah.
move it, de-risk it,
yeah.
and help people be successful. Because eventually, back to the whole pay it forward thing, yeah. you're going to do it for the next person.
Right.
You're going to exit because that's one of the cultural things we need here.
Yeah.
And here isn't just Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the Midwest. The people that did it
yeah.
and do it again
yeah.
and have a team that leads them and goes and does it and they help. And it becomes a self-feeding.
Yeah.
It's a flywheel.
Yeah.
We need that instead of I'm taking my capital and going somewhere warm.
Yeah.
or I'm going to do it once and done because right. it took me twice as long as it should.
True.
Yeah. We need that.
Yeah.
I want my kid to go, I want to start a company.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Tell us more about it.
Carmen Ventures is a early stage, Series A, late seed, venture capital fund investing in deep tech, either for Ohio State alumni, wherever they are, Ohio State technologies, or promising ventures in Ohio that can leverage Ohio State's strengths.
Cool.
That last piece is Ohio State's land grant mission.
Yeah.
We're here to support all technology and the economy of the state of Ohio.
Well, dude, thanks all so much for joining us on this wondrous recording, and I think we are done, correct?
Yes.
All right, there it is. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Midwest Momentum on your favorite podcast site and great radio stations across Ohio.